Hello, Kryptonauts, and welcome back to another episode of Cryptocurrency Chat, episode 541 for this Sunday, August 13th, 2023. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, switch on over here. All right, before we get started, I would appreciate if you guys hit that subscribe button, that like button, that follow button, all the buttons that you can to support the channel. That would be great. It is free. All you have to do is click the little button, and you're good to go. But if you want to take it to the next level and help support the channel, there is a coin tree available to help donate some crypto. If you guys want to help donate via Bitcoin, Ethereum, Dogecoin, Litecoin, Tron, Monero, and a bunch of other coins there, it is there. All right, also Bitcoin Lightning. Okay, and Noster, follow us on Noster, and Fountain.fm, probably one of the best ways to watch the pod or listen to the podcast on Fountain.fm to earn some free Satoshis. Yes, it is real Bitcoin for listening to the podcast. So follow us on Fountain, listen to the podcast, and earn Satoshis. And then if you want to donate via Bitcoin Lightning, there it is. It's right on the coin tree. There's PayPal, Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee, Spotify, and a bunch of other podcasting platforms that you can listen to the podcast. YouTube, Odyssey, Twitch, which we are live on Twitch right now. Hello, Twitch. All right. Let's see. Discord, if you guys want to follow us on Discord, that would be great. All right. And let's see here. That's pretty much it. All right. With that said, let's move on over to the first news of the day, which is this week on crypto Twitter. PayPal announces stablecoin while SEC saves face in Ripple lawsuit. All right. Let's see what's going on here. Undoubtedly, the talk of Cryptoville this week was PayPal's announcement that it would be releasing an Ethereum-based dollar-pegged stablecoin called PayPal USD, or ticker PYUSD, PYUSD, as a native payment method integrated into the platform. The fact that an American payment giant like PayPal is openly embracing a technology that is still unregulated was taken as a bullish sign among crypto fans. The market response was cautiously optimistic, breaking 6 weeks of inertia. Crypto Twitter was ablaze with reactions to the news. Tron founder Justin Sun expressed some interest in hosting the coin on his blockchain. And there's a tweet from Justin Sun says, I cordially invite PayPal to consider issuing PYUSD on Tron, which is fast, secure, and cost-effective with 12 billion USD daily transactions. All right. Chinese blockchain journalist Colin Wu disseminated news that the Seychelles-based Huobi exchange is an early supporter of the project. And here's a tweet from Wu Blockchain. Huobi announced that it has become the first exchange in the industry to support the launch of PayPal's PYUSD stablecoin. All right. There was some concern over the smart contract function of the new token, but Carl Vogel, a partner at crypto VC firm 6MV, helped to allay any fears by explaining just how routine PayPal's new offering is. And here's a tweet from Crypto Carl replying, there are some unique challenges with launching a regulated stablecoin on multiple networks and networks that aren't Ethereum. Tech Regulatory UX. Of course, PYUSD has ability to freeze and seize assets. This is consistent with USDC, BUSD, and even USDT. It is a core requirement for centralized issuers. Anyone tweeting as if it's surprising in some way is clickbaiting for you for a reaction. That is true. Remember that PayPal is trying to stay regulated with the SEC, and just like all these other stablecoins, that's how they stay regulated, right? They have to have that freeze and seize or, you know, ability to do that just in case there's any kind of, you know, criminal activity going on with those coins that someone's using, all right? All right, the news puts stablecoin family on the spotlight. Perhaps it even moved the hand of the Federal Reserve, which later in the week issued a statement announcing incoming guidance for chartered banks dealing with dollar-pegged stablecoins. Meanwhile, a clip of Joe Rogan and Post Malone discussing centrally issued stablecoins made the rounds. And there's a tweet from Bitcoin Magazine with a video clip from the Joe Rogan podcast. And I won't play that, but if you guys want to watch it, there it is on Bitcoin Magazine. In other news, on Monday, an analyst at crypto metric platform Glassnode announced that Bitcoin has hit an all-time high of sorts. A staggering three-quarters of the circulating supply is currently being hodled. And here's a tweet from Checkmate. New all-time high for Bitcoin long-term holder supply, now at 14.59 million BTC, about 75% of circulating. A suite of essential long-slash-short-term holders tools are available for Advance at Glassnode members to track hodlers versus speculators in the dashboard. All right. Scimitar Capital, an analyst, Alex, who tweets under the handle Thickethoth, wrote an interesting and succinct thread on the risk of DeFi loans to third world enterprises. Here's that tweet from Thicky. Goldfinch is a RWA protocol that makes loans to businesses in third world countries. A $5 million loan defaulted this week to a Kenyan motorbike company called Tugendi. It was discovered Tugendi violated the terms of the loans. This was a 4% of the TVL. The protocol, tough. And there's a screenshot of the update on the Tugendian Kenyan facility. All right, continuing on Wednesday, a crypto law news account presented the fact regarding the Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) ongoing lawsuit against XRP progenitor Ripple. Tweet there from Crypto Law. Fact check on pretrial schedule issued today by Judge Torres. Ripple is not going to trial. Judge Torres ruling that the XRP token is not a security is not going to trial. The trial will not decide matter of law. Only one narrow set of facts in dispute. All right, continuing on. The following day, Fox journalist Eleanor Terrett broke the news that the SEC is appealing Judge Torres's landmark ruling that XRP was not a security by definition, but could be presented as a one depending on how it's sold. Her verdict put the SEC on the back foot by contradicting its claims that XRP offering to retail customers via exchanges constitutes security offerings. And there's a tweet from Eleanor Terrett. Breaking, the SEC has filed a letter of intent to request an interlocutory appeal to Judge Torres' July 13th summary judgment in the SEC Gov versus Ripple case. All right, continuing on. Crypto exchange Gemini came out in full support of XRP that day and announced that it is re-enlisting the token. All right, Gemini tweets, excited to announce XRP is now available for trading on Gemini. Continuing on, Solana on Wednesday announced that it is lowering the price of its crypto-integrated smartphone, the Saga. The Saga has the functionality of a smartphone, but it also enables users to seamlessly interact with the Solana blockchain through dApps, applications that utilize blockchain technology. This is a decent idea for onboarding the less crypto savvy. And here's a tweet from Solana Mobile. In April, we introduced Saga with a clear vision to put Web3 at your fingertips. We continue to work to bring more people into the ecosystem and drive Web3 mobile futures. Today, we are reducing the price of the Saga to $5.99. Over the past 4 months, Saga users embrace blah, 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 blah. Okay, continuing on. Crypto investor Ryan Adams that day noted how much of an Ethereum gas burner OpenAI founder Sam Altman's new blockchain-based identity protocol WorldCoin is. Here's a tweet from Ryan. The WorldCoin authority that submits ZK proofs of eyeball scan spent $500,000 in gas over 40 days, $4.5 million annual in gas fees. Companies will need to hoard ETH the same way they hoard other essential commodities. Ethereum block space is the new oil. All right, next. Bloomberg ETF expert Eric Balanchunas and James Seifert says the road to Ethereum futures ETFs appears to be clearer than ever before after the latest rounds of application. Last week, Seifert counted 13 applications in the space of a few days. And there's a tweet with a screenshot from Eric. In the past, SEC told Ether Futures ETF filers to withdraw 5 to 6 days after the first filing hit. We are now on day 13th and no withdrawals. Not home free yet, but very good sign. As we predict, these will likely hit market in mid-October. And there's a ton of companies listing here. Waiting. Let's see, who do we have? I can barely see that. We got Grayscale in there, Ether Strategy ETF, Bitwise Ethereum Strategy ETF, Bitcoin and Ethereum Strategy ETF. Let's see. Valkyrie Bitcoin Ethereum Strategy ETF, Bitwise Bitcoin Ethereum Equal Weight Strategy ETF. There's a ton of them on there. It's crazy. It's going to happen, man. It's going to happen. Balatunas also this week noted the high performance of crypto-related equity ETFs this year. And there's a screenshot of even more. Crazy. This is a tweet from Eric. Every single one of the top 15 best performing equities ETFs this year's crypto related WGMI leading the way with plus 227%. Finally attracting flows too. Although pretty modest considering the performance numbers. This is part of our monthly crypto ETF report via JSEF and Sir Yepity Yep. All right. Custody friendly US bank Custodia announced its launch on Friday. Custodia touts itself as a compliant bridge between digital assets and the US dollar payment system. As a custodian of digital assets that can meet strictest levels of institution custody standards. And there's a tweet from Custodia. Custodia Bank is live. Last month, we began to serve external customers. For helping us reach this milestone, special thanks goes to our team, our investors, and all our partners, especially in the face of regulatory pressures on the digital asset industry. Finally, here's footage of disgraced FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried nervously walking into the courthouse where he was later sent to jail for witness tampering. We've already covered reactions to it in a whole other crypto Twitter roundup. I gotta play this. Here we go. Let's see, I'm gonna pause it. Wow. Wow. I was having a discussion over the weekend about this, and yeah. It should be like that. It has to be like that, you know. It's. Let's move on to the next news. Here it is. A little more detail. Hope you enjoy prison. Crypto Twitter reacts as Sam Bankman-Fried's bail is revoked. Here it is. Crypto Twitter did not hold back Friday amid news that disgraced FTX founder and former CEO Sam Bankman-Fried's bail has been revoked. He was remanded to jail by a federal judge due to witness tampering and industry personalities impacted in some way by his alleged misdeeds let loose on the social media platform. Take that, you witness tampering, vegan, faking, money-stealing, egotistical, delusional, coked-up, fraudulent, orgy goblin, beanbag-sleeping, self-entitled, stuck-up, pudgy little twat waffles, Cinnahamian venture partner Adam Cochran tweeted, "What? I hope you enjoy prison." What the heck? Damn, that's harsh, man. SBF bell revoked because the dude cannot stop himself from cheating even to watch sports. Poetic, really? General counsel at Delphi Labs, Gabriel Shapiro said. Bankman-Fried bail was revoked following an order by presiding New York U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan, who doubted that a gag order would be enough to keep Bankman-Fried from speaking to the media. Sucks for Sam. If the past is prologue, he will not see home for 15 to 30 years. Former pharmaceutical executive Martin Shkreli tweeted, "Played at high-stake games and wanted a shortcut. Doesn't work that way." Shkreli gained the Pharma Bro moniker in 2015 when he raised the price of the anti-malaria medication Domperidone by 4,000%. He was charged and convicted on two counts of security frauds and one count of conspiracy and released early from a 7-year prison sentence in 2022. Do you want to trust your hard-earned money to someone who can't tell the difference between right and wrong? Custodia Bank founder and CEO Caitlin Long tweeted, "Do you think SBF even cares that he put at risk the bail posted by his parents, Stanford friends, and colleagues?" That's true. See? In July, Bankman-Fried's attorney confirmed that he shared documents related to the former CEO and Alameda Research, Caroline Ellison, with the New York Times. Ellison was also a former romantic partner. Mr. Bankman-Fried entertained the reporters at his parents' home in Palo Alto and showed some portion of Miss Ellison's private writings. Judge Kaplan reported said, the U.S. said it was to intimidate her and others. The defense says it's about a First Amendment right. Bankman-Fried has also been accused of witness tampering using encrypted communication applications. In December, Bankman-Fried was arrested in the Bahamas 1 month after the collapse of the FTX cryptocurrency exchange, on charges including fraud and money laundering by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. For some, Bankman-Fried being remanded into custody was a long time coming, given the extreme scale of his alleged crimes to the tune of billions of dollars worth of FTX customer assets. Nature's Healing economist Alex Kruger said, and some builders in the industry were not so long-winded in their assessment of this situation. Bitch, bye, tweeted Thunder Game CEO Des Dickerson, adding an emoji of a hand making a peace sign. And that is it. So there it is. We are done. That is the end of the chapter of Sam Bankman-Fried. Adios. I, for one, did not fall for the FTX scam. Never got into FTX, but I know that a lot of people did, and a lot of people got hurt. And yeah, this is justice. Well deserved. Next news. All right. Crypto exchange Bittrex agrees to pay $24 million to settle SEC lawsuit. Of course, that's what the SEC wants, right? You know, they try to do all these lawsuits and take all these companies to court just to get money, just to squeeze money out of companies. You know, this is what's upsetting. Let's see what's going on here. Cryptocurrency exchange Bittrex has agreed to pay $24 million to settle a case with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, the regulator announced Thursday. The SEC said that the American exchange agreed to pay on a joint and several basis disgorgement of $14.4 million, prejudgment interest of $4 million, and a civil penalty of $5.6 million. The U.S. regulator hit Seattle-based Bittrex and its former CEO, William C. Hara, with a lawsuit back in April alleging that the Seattle-based exchange had failed to register it as broker-dealer exchange and clearing agency. The agency alleged that Bittrex raked in at least $1.3 billion in illicit revenue between 2017 and 2022. And there's a tweet from the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. For years, Bittrex worked with tokens issuers to scrub their online statements of any indicia that they were investment contracts, all in an effort to evade the federal security laws. They failed, said Gubier S. Graywall, director of the SEC's Division of Enforcement, in a statement. As part of the settlement, Bittrex neither admitted nor denied the SEC's allegations. Bittrex is one of the smaller crypto exchanges in the United States, but it has been in trouble with regulators and American authorities since last year. In 2022, the exchange agreed to pay $29 million to settle enforcement cases with U.S. authorities for apparent violations of sanctions against countries including Iran, Cuba, and Syria. And in May, it filed a bankruptcy shortly after winding down its U.S. operations. The exchange said it was not economically viable to continue running the exchange in the current U.S. regulatory and economic environment. Yep, it was at that time when a bunch of other companies left as well. And I figured, they're just squeezing people to death, all these companies. It's frustrating, man. Like, SEC, just make the rules. Tell us what the regulations are. Tell us. You know? Of course, it sounds like, according to this article, that the SEC didn't pay their taxes/fees, I guess. You know, maybe if they did that, maybe the SEC would be off their back, but I don't know. Obviously, they're saying that there's illicit activity going on. You know, that's probably the biggest deal there, of course. Okay, moving on to the last news article that we have. Visa trials Ethereum gas fee payments using cards. Yes, I did hear this earlier in the week too, last week. All right, let's see here. Payment solutions provider Visa has unveiled an experimental solution on the Ethereum blockchain that enables users to pay gas fees using Visa credit or debit cards. The initiative aims to streamline the process of interacting with decentralized applications built on the Ethereum blockchain. According to the company, the trial helps set the stage for a more accessible and user-friendly approach to digital transactions. The successful test was conducted during the internal hackathon of the Ethereum Gorilla testnet, a replica of the Ethereum mainnet's functionality designed for testing purposes. Following the publication of a deep dive report and self-custody crypto wallet at the end of last year, in which Visa researched the potential of auto payment on the Ethereum network. Traditionally, users need to acquire ETH from exchanges or on-ramp services and then transfer the coins to their wallets to cover fluctuating gas fees for transactions on the Ethereum mainnet or when transacting in stablecoins such as USDT or USDC. This often leads to overspending and the insufficient ETH balance, increasing the complexity of the user experience. Visa's technical team utilized the combination of cutting-edge technology to facilitate this experiment, including payment smart contract agreement, account abstraction, as well as the ERC 4337 standard. Account abstraction refers to a comprehensive concept that involves transforming a traditional crypto wallet into a smart contract wallet. This evolution goes beyond the conventional setup of a public and private key pair, offering enhanced capabilities such as glassless transactions, batch transactions, and social recovery. ERC 4337, in turn, is an Ethereum standard that outlines a specific approach for implementing account abstractions within a cryptocurrency wallet. How the tech works. In Visa's implementation, the process begins when a user intends to execute a transaction on the blockchain. To initiate the operation, the wallet generates a user operation request, which includes details about the intended transaction known as call data, and the maximum cost allocated for the operation encompassing parameters associated with gas fees. Give me a second here. I just noticed that this whole time I was recording the wrong screen, so I apologize. Always technical difficulties. All right. But at least the audio's there, so that's good. All right, specifically the parameters within the request defines the gas limit, determining the highest computational efforts allocated for the operation and the gas fee, specifically the cost for each unit of computation required. However, rather than immediately transmitting the user operations request to the blockchain, the wallet takes up an intermediary step. It sends the user operations along with the user's Visa card credentials to a payment master web service as depicted in step 2 below. This web service then utilizes the gas fee details to calculate the appropriate fiat currency cost then the user should be charged. Simultaneously leveraging the provided card credentials, the card issuing institution may opt to authorize the card payment. The chosen payment acceptance solutions for the web service is Visa's own payment management platform, CyberSource, which equips developers with essential software development kits, SDKs, and application programming interfaces, APIs, and empowers merchants to seamlessly accept digital payments. Once the payment has been successfully processed via CyberSource, the web service generates a digital signature encompassing pertinent information within the user operation. This includes the call data specifics and gas fee particulars, as indicated in step 3 above. Additionally, the web service determines a specific time frame during which the digital signature remains valid. Subsequently, the wallet receives the digital signatures and the designated time window from the web service. These details, along with the on-chain address and the payment and the paymaster contract, are then appended as the paymaster parameter to the user operation. Once all facets of the user operations are in place, the wallet is empowered to sign it and transmit it to the blockchain as outlined in step 4 above. Upon reaching the blockchain, in accordance with the process framework outlined by the ERC's 4337 standard, the Paymaster contract receives the user operation data. This data should encompass the digital signature obtained from the Paymaster web service. If any discrepancies or inaccuracies are detected within the provided data, such as incorrect signature or invalid time window, the Paymaster contract is designed to trigger an error, relieving it from covering the associated gas cost. However, when the signature is duly validated, signifying that the web service has received a card payment to cover the operational cost of the user operation, the Paymaster contract remains error-free and proceeds to manage the cost. Consequently, the user operations can be executed without hindrance. Step 5. Summarizing the experiment, Visa said that the intricacies and complexities of the blockchain-based transaction have been a significant stumbling block for many years, creating the challenges, learning curves, and increasing user friction. The experiment the researchers added offer a promising approach to substantially addressing these challenges. Well, there you go. Visa, you did it. Congratulations. And with that said, Krypton Knots, we are done for today. Awesome. Whew. All right. And again, I apologize for the visuals that are out there. I guess I'll go back to a couple of the images there. Here's this one. All right. I'll go back to, let's see, crypto exchange Bittrex agrees to pay $24 million. There it is. Boom. Okay. Let's go back to, there it is, Sam Bankman-Fried. Dun, dun, dun. Goodbye. And, of course, crypto Twitter. Here's all the companies that are listing for the ETF. There it is. All right. And boom. Joe Rogan podcast. Yep, there it is. And that's it, Kryptonauts. That's a wrap for today. And so until next time, let's see. Stack Sats and HODL. Adios.